Welcome back, everyone, to another deep, honest, unfiltered episode of After Hours Let's Talk, the show where the conversation gets a little realer, the emotions get a little louder, and we peel back layers of life we usually hide from the world. Tonight, we're diving into a topic that so many parents face but rarely admit out loud: anger, and what it looks like when you're trying to raise children, manage a life, hold down your emotions, and not lose your sanity in the process. I'm your host, Shorty For Real, and joining me tonight is someone who knows this territory inside and out, Davina Hain, mental health coach, speaker, and the host of Shift Talking Podcast. She's helped countless parents shift their emotional patterns, break generational cycles, and learn to respond instead of react. So before we get into this conversation, I want you guys to grab something to drink, grab a seat, and we're going to dive deep into it. But first, it's what's on your mind tonight. So we have a listener that wrote in, "I love my kids, but lately I feel like I'm snapping over small things. Spilled juice, forgotten homework, constant noise. I feel guilty afterwards, but in the moments, it's like something in me just pops. I don't know if I'm tired, overwhelmed, or just losing control. How do other parents keep it together?" Well, for me, I have to step away for a second. I have to tell my kids, you know what, just go somewhere, go do something, find something to do with yourself so that I can take a moment to calm down, think, breathe, so that I'm not exploding all over them. Because the last thing I want them to do or to feel is that I'm extremely angry with them, or they've done something so bad that, you know, they made mommy like lose her mind. So I have to take a breather, and I let them take a breather, and then we come back and we talk about it. And I express the emotions that I was feeling and the emotions that whatever it is that they've done made me feel. And then I ask them to explain to me how they're feeling, and what do they think is the best thing to do moving forward, and how can we not let this happen again? Davina, if you would like to share some insight with the listener.
Yeah, I mean, the question of how do other parents do it without losing it is that they're not. They are losing it constantly. I am too. Even in this work for a really long time, I judged myself deeply for being in the anger management world, coining the term and the framework of anger intelligence, and still losing my shit quite often and leading with regret in my day to day. And that's part of it. I think the expectation that we shouldn't, that we should be calm, that we shouldn't lose ourselves and act outside of ourselves every so often is not only impractical, but it perpetuates the same thing. Because if I'm expecting to not lose it, and then I do, the guilt and the shame that I experience will make everything that much worse. Anger, depression, anxiety, all of these ailments tend to get bred from and feed off of guilt and shame. And the more that we expect that we shouldn't, the harder it is to manage through, because we're just white knuckle controlling, attempting to, rather. So it is that. And to your point, it is about the repair. It is about learning our body, getting attuned to our body and understanding what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling it, what I did with it, so that we can either find a way to get regulated in real time, or if we stay dysregulated and we act in regret, how I can repair it later instead of just making blanket sweeping statements like it won't happen again or it's okay. You know, it's not okay. It did bother me. There was something, there was a fundamental need underneath that. From the viewer's question, it sounds like, or the listener's question, it sounds like there's sensory overload, these types of things that just feel like they just kind of, it's like an alien comes out of my body and I know better, but I can't do better in the moment. And it's about picking up on those things and getting more familiar with your body and listening to its cues. And then, of course, when we repair, we don't apologize for feelings and for feeling anger. What we do is apologize and take accountability for what we did with it. My kids will hear me say often, I am not sorry that I got angry. I'm sorry that I yelled because I got angry. I'm sorry I got loud with you and I shouted and I behaved in this way. That I'm really sorry about. And here's what I'm going to work on. Not I'm working on it, but tell them actively what it is. One of the best tools that I oftentimes suggest and that I implement with my kids and even my husband in our conflict as well is a code word. Because in those moments, if either one of us is telling each other to calm down, we're probably not going to get anywhere. But if we have a conversation that we both remember what we're working on, and then they use that code word with me, I'm much more likely to put my defenses down instead of saying calm down or be quiet or mom, you're yelling. It becomes this mutual thing. So for my son, we say stairs because a conversation we had the last time was on the stairs. And so we remind each other about it, but know that you're not alone. Know that people are constantly losing their shit on their kids. And if you're worried about it, you're doing better than most parents who will likely find a way to villainize their kid and not do the work on themselves. So I applaud you for being open to it and seeking guidance.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as you guys can hear, she's brilliant. But let's properly welcome you onto the show. Welcome into the After Hours Lounge. If you don't mind just letting our listeners know a little bit about yourself before we get into our conversation here.
Yeah. So I'm Davina Hain. I'm the founder of a coaching practice called A Steady Space. I'm trained as a therapist and opted out of traditional therapy, opting for much more of a professional friend approach. And I really work to empower people to live steadier lives through radical self-responsibility. And part of that is becoming more anger intelligent and knowing what to do with it.
Great. That's beautiful. So again, welcome in. And I know this is a topic that a lot of us, we deal with on a daily basis. A lot of us have kids, and being able to manage that anger that comes with raising children and not completely spazzing out on our kids. It's tough.
Yeah. So, 100%. It's so hard.
It's very tough. I have found moments where I'm like, I've had to go by myself and I'm like, ah. Like, if you weren't a little person, like, I don't know what
100%.
I don't know what I would do. Like, but I have to remember that, you know, these are kids, like these are children, like I cannot deal with them in the same manner that I would an adult. So I have to be very aware of how I'm expressing myself, because the last thing I want my kids to do is fear me or feel like they can't talk to me or that any and everything that they do is going to cause some type of angry response out of me. So I try to be very aware of how I'm dealing with them when occasions arise where they upset me. And I know for me personally, I do, like, I have to, with my daughter, I have to tell her to go check herself. Like, just go in your room, think about it. Like, just take a moment to yourself to think about what you've done, why I'm angry right now, and then come back and talk to me and tell me what's going on in your head, because I want to understand, but in this moment, my anger is so high that I don't even listen to what you got to say right now.
Yeah.
Because I will cut you off, like, you know, but she does. She goes, I don't give her a time frame. She goes in there, she thinks about it. She comes back and she's like, okay, mom, you know, I did this. And I'm like, okay, so why did I get mad? Why did I say this? Why did I tell you to do that? And she's like, well, because I did this thing and I know I shouldn't have did it. And I was upset, or I felt like you weren't listening to me. So it gives me a chance to understand why she acted the way that she did and gave me the response or did the action that she did to upset me. But then it makes me have to self-reflect and be like, okay, well, I can understand that, but this is a better way to deal with it, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're coaching her through it. And that's what a lot of us didn't get growing up. We got sent to our rooms and then likely just move on. Mm-hmm. We weren't given the opportunity to break it down and do that inventory of what was it that upset me? What was I needing? Instead of just what did I do wrong with it? Right. And that's what a lot of us were brought up with. We weren't coached through this. And it sounds like you're emotionally coaching her too, of how to understand herself more, how to anticipate other people's reactions based on what she's presenting with and why and how, and trying to find a new way to get her needs met, which is to feel heard and respected and seen and belong and, you know, feel like there's equity, like there wasn't an injustice that I just witnessed.
Right. Absolutely. Because I think as children, we all felt like, I don't think in my generation per se, you know, we were just told, you know, to just go away. You know, you get in trouble and that was it. You get in trouble and that was it. There was no conversation behind it, you know. So being able to properly break down our emotions, I feel is something that's very needed today. So I wanted to ask you, as far as with you doing the anger management, what does that look like and what steps or advice do you take your clients through as far as working through that?
There's an entire part of the neurochemistry and the neuroscience behind anger and really emotions in general and our nervous system and all of that, but specifically anger being such a primal survival emotion, and what happens neurochemically is incredibly important. And so I always make sure that people understand what's happening on that level so that we stop viewing this as an unwillingness or an inability to regulate, to stay calm, and actually see that it is fully this incapability based on our survival mechanisms, based on what our brain does in order to shut down our logical brain, the logical part of our brain, and just get us moving, taking action toward safety. And our brain cannot tell the difference between a lion in the wild and our child rolling their eyes at us. Either way, it sparks some level of danger and lack of safety. So we always start with that. I do my best to remove the shame and the guilt behind it, and really help us understand we're working with a patterned, sophisticated machine that is our brain, that is capable of changing and of course neuroplasticity and all of these things, but really helping us understand it from the get. So we typically start with the neuroscience, and then we go into the things that spark us. They would typically take my anger archetype quiz, so we can see really one of five things that tend to spark us the most. We're all going to get sparked likely by all of them, but which one are we going to focus on first? And then we start just implementing day-to-day strategies without it being, what do I do in the moment when my rational brain is hijacked and I'm not capable of calming down? I'm not capable of taking a breath. I'm just operating on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And so we start with what I've called just the steady start, which is going to regulate our nervous system first thing in the morning, because typically the first place that we get our dopamine dump, which is it's like our wonder chemical of like, I wonder what will happen and I wonder what this looks like. It also helps us stay more regulated, stay more calm throughout our day, we start with that, where we don't look at our phones for the first 30 minutes. We abstain from news for the most part, because there is a difference between staying informed and indulging. And then we drink water, we get outside, we move our body, and not a whole 4 a.m. workout gym bro thing, but just get up and walk from your front door to your car and back. Nothing crazy, but we're just trying to prime our system to be more bored, to leave room for these things. Because when we start our day with the news, with scrolling, with our emails and our bills, and ugh, we're immediately starting our day in a level of survival mode. And so what we want to do is prime ourselves as best as we can to get that dopamine dump from drinking water and moving our body and getting sunlight and taking that calm, taking that time either for ourselves or with our kids first thing in the morning, as opposed to just starting already feeling like we're behind.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, you know, because we do, like, I think because of the world that we live in is so fast paced and everything is got to in the moment, we got to get up, do this right now. And I definitely can relate with the news thing. I've stopped watching the news entirely because it puts me in such bad space.
Same. Same. Yeah.
I cannot.
And I mean, if we look at our physiology of coming from hunter gatherers, right? Like, we're built for long periods of regulation followed by short stints of dysregulation and then regulation again. So it's like we're resting, we're cooking, whatever. We're feeding our family, we're having family time. And then there's this short burst of survival, of hunting, of fear, and then followed immediately by safety. Our bodies, our brain is still operating from that more primal instinct. And so when we wake up and the first thing we do is read about the news or something distressing or something that signals a lack of safety in us or an injustice that we're witnessing, we're immediately in that survival mode. We're immediately dysregulated. And it's going to be that much harder to bring ourselves back to regulation. We're not meant to be regulated all of the time either, but we don't want to set ourselves up for failure first thing in the morning, as soon as we wake up. We're not going to wake up and give our kids their tablets or their iPad first thing because we know it's not good for their brain. And yet we do the same thing for ourselves.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So then what would be the next thing? Because, like, when you say we go into the fight and flight, and our brains can't distinguish between the two, and I know that to be a fact, because the moment that anything that's overstimulating or causes any type of agitation or irritation, your body, I feel like, goes into this kind of panic mode. And it's like, what do I need to do right now? Because my body don't know that this is a kid standing in front of me, irritating the hell out of me.
Totally. Totally.
So it's like, what are those steps? Like, because I feel like I have to take a deep breath and I'm like, I have to recenter myself. Like, okay, I got to relax now because this is a child. This is a child, first off.
Yeah.
And I know that they're about to tear the last strand of my hair out of my head. And
like no one else can either.
Right?
Like no one else can.
They really do know how to get to that very last nerve that you have. It's like they teeter on the edge of danger. Like, I don't know.
I swear there are just days that they just want to fuck with us. And I don't even think it's on purpose. A lot of the time, sometimes I think it is, but it just, they're gifted in their ability to stoke the flames. Yeah.
The way I see it is like, I'm like, they're teetering on that edge of the cliff. Like, do I jump off this mug? Or do I fight like hell to not fall down? Like, you know, but just being in that moment with your kids, like, I know some parents aren't able to come down as quickly or to even rationalize in a moment, you know. So I know, because a lot of times that's usually what they've grown up to know, or this is how things were dealt with when they were children. And, you know, it's just like taking on that same characteristics and not being able to come back, like, how do we help or like advise parents like that, that are just unable to, I'm not saying that they're unable to, but it's like they go into that mode very quickly and it's hard to come down, you know, a lot. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. And for a lot of us, it is an incapability. There is that neurological amygdala hijack that happens where the survival center of our brain quite literally shuts down our frontal lobe, our more logical mind. Mm-hmm. And that's why we say shit we don't mean. We say things that are just horrific. We behave. We have adult tantrums in response to our kids' tantrums. We have these full-blown experiences. And then only later on, after the cloud is lifted, after they clear, after our blood supply comes back to our logical brain, do we have that just typically just that drop where our heart falls from our chest to our tummy right out our ass of like, oh, I really made a mistake here. I'm really wrong here. And it is an incapability for now. And that's the beauty of it, is that you're not to blame for what you've done thus far and your wiring and all of that. You're responsible for it though. And what a luxury to be able to have it be only up to you. So first we look at that. We understand what your patterning is. We adjust our expectations. And so much of this has to do with us trying to control other people so that we don't get dysregulated. Okay. But if we do more of this work where I learn about the things that spark me, I can take radical self-responsibility over what I do with it. I adjust my expectations with my kids accordingly. So instead of it being, you aren't listening to me, it can be, I'm feeling unheard, right? Because no matter what they do, I'm experiencing them. And maybe they are listening, just not in the way that I want them to. And maybe they hear me and they are listening, but they're not complying. And those are two very different things. So we just get curious about ourselves. But for those of us who are still in this chronic dysregulation, chronic regret, chronically losing our shit, there's so much shame attached to that. And I know when I was doing this work, and every so often these things flare up, I go back on autopilot. It's not so easy to stay consciously aware of it all of the time. When that happens, I feel so gross that the way that I behaved outweighs my original upset in my mind. And I just go into this shame doom loop of not believing I'm capable, or of worrying that I've messed up my kids so bad anyway that the damage is done. Right. And so one of the most powerful things that I've done for myself is separate the previous version of me from the version of me that I am now. Like quite literally, even from 2 minutes ago to now, it's this part of assigning her a name. She goes by my maiden name. That version of me that comes out like raw and feral, she goes by my maiden name.
Right.
And then this version of me that I'm trying to be, she's Davina Hayne. She is the mother of my children. She is the one who's guiding these kids through. And if I can separate that version of me that behaved poorly from the version of me that's working to do better, I then can look at her more objectively. I can speak about her in the third person and say, I wonder what she needed. Because we all know when we see the parent losing their shit in the grocery store with their kid, and we're just like, geez, you know, and we can see so clearly what's going on. We're just like, get a hold of yourself. Like, what's happening? And we like inherently just judge, or we're saying like, I would lose my shit too because that kid's being wild. Right. Whatever it is, we can see these things so much more objectively when we aren't the one in here. We can't read the label from inside the jar. Mm-hmm. So the very first step I would recommend anyone take is to assign that person a name. It's the 1.0, 2.0 version of you. It's the middle name you hate. Whatever it is, just give that version of you a name and then play the tape back low risk, like the lowest risk scenario that you can remember recently. And ask, what did they need? What need wasn't met? What boundary was violated? What injustice did they witness? And then, okay, sure, what they did with it was poor. Yeah. And underneath that was a valid complaint, was a valid fear. And then we can start kind of reverse engineering this and start acting in prevention. But if there's only the villainization of me or the villainization of my partner or my kid, we're not going to get there.
Right.
So separating that has been the most transformative thing I could have done for myself, who I just couldn't see through. I would blame myself and I would live in so much regret. And so many of us within the mental health world know that like our kids are notoriously the most fucked up because we're just constantly viewing the patterning and we're constantly trying to get ahead of things. I was diagnosing my kids from the time they were like 2 or 3 years old with psychopathy. Like, it's just crazy. And the more we can separate that and stop being our own worst troll and our own worst bully, and believe in our ability to rise and do things differently and validate why we got angry while taking accountability for what I did with it, it's transformative.
Yeah, that is like, that is definitely something that I know that I've been working on. I've been saying this a lot, but I've been going through my therapy journey, and what you were just explaining, it's turning that negative mindset and thinking into positive and healthy questions and outcomes. So instead of thinking as yourself as the villain, like you said, or the child as the villain, thinking about what it is that needed to be heard, said, done, how you felt in that moment. Like, being able to process our emotions, I feel like, is the absolute hardest thing that we are unable to do on a daily basis.
And yeah, it's a superpower.
We feel so overwhelmed because being able to process them and understand what it is that we're actually feeling in the moment, and then being able to communicate that, is like a disconnect there, because we know what we're feeling, but we're not able to communicate that in a way that the next person or our child would understand. And I've been having that with my kids. My son is the person that gives me the most aching brain, because simply because our communication style is so different. And I'm like, it's frustrating, and I find it becoming frustrated for the both of us. And it's like, you know what? I'm just going to take a break. You need to take a break, because we got to figure out, like, I understand your feeling, but the way that we're communicating, I think, is usually the issue that we have most times, because it's really not what actually happened, but it's usually the communication to say what happened or why it happened.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to teach my children that everyone has a different communication style. You have to stop and listen and take a moment to actually hear what they're saying and try to see it in their point of view. You know, like, take yourself outside of how you process things and how you hear things, and put yourself in their shoes and try to hear it from their point of view. And like, because you're not, everybody's not going to do it like you. They're not going to say it like you. So you have to have empathy and compassion when you're speaking and expressing yourself. I do let my kids know all the time, you know, that your feelings are very valid to me, you know, and I want to understand why you're feeling this way so that we can process things in a better way, because the way that you're currently processing things and the way that I'm dealing with how you're processing things is not working out. And now we're both angry at each other because I can't take how you're processing it and you don't like how I'm accepting your processing. I think that we all need that break and just not villainize ourselves. I think we're our worst enemies. We are so hard on ourselves all the time. And we try our hardest to do better and like beat ourselves into a person. And it's like, you know what? Just give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. You're not the worst person in the world. It's not that extreme, you know, just take a breather. Thank you. But I am going to go into the quote of the night. It comes from Davina. So, anger isn't who you are. It's a signal that something in your life needs your attention. So, you guys, keep that with you. Understand it. Write it down. I don't know. Make a little sticky note. Put it on your mirror in the morning. Your anger isn't who you are. It's a signal that something in your life needs your attention. So pay attention. Figure out what is it that you're needing? What is it that you're missing? What is it that is not being regulated in your life that is causing you to have the emotions and the reactions that you are having and experiencing them the way that you are experiencing them. It's nothing wrong with taking a deep dive into yourself and looking at how you can better work on you in a more positive and healthy way. Davina, if you have any final words or would like to add on to your quote.
It's be gentle with yourself. No one has ever hated themselves into change. So if you give yourself some room, some grace, some compassion that you're hoping someone else will give you, let it be you first. Realistically, we have to provide that for ourselves and not give ourselves a pass, but an acknowledgement that we're capable of doing differently. And so we start doing differently. And I'm proud of you.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. So thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of After Hours Let's Talk. I want to thank Davina, our special guest, for coming in and sitting and talking with us and shedding insight on our anger management issues and our children that tick, tick, tick on the edge of nerves. You guys, remember that you need to take a deep breath, breathe, relax, and remember you're only human and you can only deal with so much. So don't be so hard on yourselves. Give yourself some empathy, some compassion, and some space to breathe. So you guys, again, take a deep breath, relax, and find a way to let things flow in an easier manner. And as always, the night, it always has something to say. And we will see you guys next time. Have a beautiful, beautiful night.